The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, almost 14 years since the election that saw them return to power with 37 seats, the Labour Party is vying once again to get back into government. So what would they bring to the table this time after a previous stint that seemed to leave only one word in the minds of voters, that word being austerity? Now, to go through just what they would bring back in government is the leader of the Labour Party, Ivana Bacic. Ivana, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat, and thank you for inviting me on your programme.
So let me ask you this. Why would you want to get back into government? Because the Labour Party has suffered every time it does go in.
Well, Pat, we're a decade on from the last time Labour left office. And of course, in 2016, we left a country that had restored our economic sovereignty, that was facing growing prosperity. But what we've seen since then, in the 9 years since then, has been two successive Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael governments that have patently failed to deliver on the state investment in housing, in childcare, in healthcare and disability services that people need. And that's the real shame of it. That's the weight of prosperity with 4,500 children in homelessness. Well, no, let me get to that point. But that's precisely why we in Labour are now so seriously committed and intent on delivering change, the change that communities need. When we have 4,500 children in homelessness, when we have families across the country unable to find an affordable home, unable to find an affordable childcare place or any available disability services for children, that's when we need the Labour vision for change. And we're a party, Pat, that has always been serious about delivering change. There's many on the left are very content to sit on the sidelines and will never, ever go into government. There'll be a permanent opposition. We're not like that. No, let me finish that point. We're not like that. We're a party that has deep roots. We're a party also of many green shoots, many new and dynamic candidates around the country. We're running 32 candidates, but we're absolutely serious about delivering on Labour's message of social democratic change, of state investment.
No matter
in housing
how
and
ambitious
health.
You are for your numbers, 32 candidates, I don't know how many you really expect to get elected, but you would be the minority party in a coalition unless the coalition was a coalition of a whole pile of independents and left-wing candidates.
Well, Pat, I think you're absolutely right about confronting the reality, the real prospect of who will be in government after this election. And interestingly, across the doors, that's what people are asking me. How will we be sure that the party and the vision that we want to see will shape the next government? And that's why, alone among anyone on the left, I've set out a clear and coherent pathway for achieving the change we want to see for our communities. And as I've said, my absolute priority over the next 9 days is fighting to ensure we have as many Labour TDs return to the Dáil as possible. But after the people have spoken on the 29th of November, the first thing I will do as leader of the Labour Party, the only party on the left that's ever served in government now in existence, the first thing I will do is go to the leaders of other parties that share our vision, the leader of the Green Party, the leader of the Social Democratic Party, the leaders of other centre-left groupings or other centre-left independents who share our vision and our values, because that's the best way to ensure we can achieve the change communities need.
That
a common platform.
You might have the SDLG, the Social Democrats, the Labour Party and the Green Party as a kind of a loose alliance of the left that would give you clout in terms of negotiating with a major...
And thank you for suggesting a name, Pat. But, whatever the term is, the point is that a common platform across the left and green parties is the best way to secure the change that we want, that our communities need to see. And the concern is if we don't do that, we don't create that common platform, that solidarity on the left, that we will see a government that will be propped up by a group of far-right independents. We've seen it happen elsewhere in Europe, and that will set back climate change. It will set back progressive policy on so many areas, on women's rights and LGBT rights, crucially on housing and childcare. That's the risk. And we want to see, as in the Netherlands, we want to see a solidarity on the left and across the Green movement that will see off the threat of the far right. That's what we in Labour stand for. We're the only party that proposed that credible
really
pathway.
You're saying this SDLG might go into negotiation with the two other parties, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And you would be almost a party or a coalition of equals, this SDLG group with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which would give you more input into policy than if you were, as the Greens are at the moment, a minority in the outgoing coalition.
Well, we have serious and significant political differences with the two current biggest government parties. We've also serious and significant political differences with the third of the three big parties, the leading opposition party.
So where does that leave you?
And that's why we need to ensure there's a common platform across the left and green movement, that those who share our vision and our values can come together in solidarity, Pat. Because we're fortunate to live in a democracy. And of course, the more numbers we have in a grouping that shares a vision and values, the more impact we can have, okay, and the more likely we are to deliver on the policies that communities
need. I want to talk
need.
To you about various elements of your policy. You share the ambition of at least 50,000 homes per year. And the commission has laid down that we need an average of 60,000 by the end of the decade per year. And most of the parties, I think all of them, are going along with that ambition. But you want to have some sort of state construction company.
Yes. So we were the first to set out the level of ambition and the level of urgency that's needed to deliver the homes that people are crying out for. We said last year that at least 50,000 new builds per year and at least 50,000 deep retrofit and refurbished houses per year would be needed to deliver on the scale of housing.
How do you do it?
Yeah. How do we do that? And again, we in our manifesto have set out a credible and sustainable pathway to deliver it. What we propose is not setting up a new entity. Rather, we want to take the existing vehicle, the Land Development Agency, and transform it so that it has the capacity to deliver social and affordable homes directly. It's been done before, Pat. We look back to Sean Lemass in the 60s, delivering public homes at scale through the creation of a national building agency. We've seen it done elsewhere too. But frankly, Pat, you're not talking
about a construction company where the state employs builders, chippies, electricians, brickies and so on directly?
Will have to be some direct employment, but of course there will also be contracting to other bodies,
to AHBs
and others.
Because that's the way Sean Lemass did it.
That's right, yes. And let's put it this way, Pat. Anyone I speak to in the construction industry tells me now that the private sector simply does not have the current resources or capacity to sustain the risk of building, because construction costs have risen so high, only the state has the deep pockets necessary to take on that risk and therefore to deliver homes at scale. And we're looking also at the economy of scale that could be carried out through that.
Where are you getting the workers from? Minimum of maybe 80,000 workers, extra workers they're talking about. Well, where are you getting them from?
Well, I've really delved deeply into this. IFAC, as you say, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, has suggested that up to 80,000 additional workers. Now, interestingly, they say it could be as low as 20,000 additional if productivity is higher. But let's look at
that's pie in the sky. Well, that you get four times the productivity per worker.
That's the IFAC point. Well, but Pat, let's look at the figures currently employed in the construction industry, about 170,000 currently. Now, that's not far off how many were employed at the height of the building boom in Celtic Tiger years, when we were building more than 60,000 new homes per year. The problem now is that so many workers in construction are deployed on non-residential build, on commercial build or big state infrastructure projects. We might think of the Children's Hospital. And though, again, when I'm speaking with builders, I'm speaking with developers, they tell me the key thing here is to move people and divert construction workers into residential construction, that's how we deliver capacity. Of course, we do need to recruit skilled labour from abroad. And we've been critical of slow pace of recruitment programmes by government.
I'm looking at your other plans.
So
in transport, for example, you have a hugely ambitious transport thing. They've got to employ building workers to build out the infrastructure as well. I mean, a lot of people are trying to magic up workers where they simply do not exist and will not exist.
We're the party of work, Pat. We're the party of the trade union movement. We have delivered on job creation in the past and we will do so in the future. And we see huge potential in the green transition that we need, that our communities are crying out for. Huge potential for increased employment. Yes, we'll have to recruit proactively from abroad. Of course we will. Irish labourers, let's not forget, built most of the public infrastructure in Britain and much of it in the US as well. And they were recruited from abroad. We're currently recruiting, by the way, in our healthcare service. One in four of our nurses are from outside of Ireland, Pat. We need skilled labour from abroad, not just in construction, but also across healthcare, in education, in retail and hospitality.
I mean, you're talking about an extra 2,500 people in healthcare.
Well, that's what we need to see. And every hospital I visit, every GP I speak to, every nurse I speak to tells me how desperately understaffed our healthcare system is currently. We know that staffing shortage is the cause of the chronic delays, the awful waiting lists that children with disabilities, children with scoliosis, children with conditions are facing.
And you're talking about people with, children with autism who don't get an assessment before they go to school.
But you know what?
And you're talking about loads more staff. Where are they coming from?
We're ambitious.
Where are they being trained?
Of course we're ambitious with this.
Yeah, I know, but it's like saying I'm ambitious to have more carpenters, but if I'm not training them, I won't have them.
But we've set out, we're the only party that has set out a carefully costed, sustainable manifesto to deliver on the services people need, to, yes, to recruit additional workers. But you know what's the biggest block currently, Pat, to employing and recruiting workers? Lack of housing. Why are we training childcare workers and nurses who are going abroad? Why are we training teachers who are taking up jobs in Dubai, in Oman, in countries in the Middle East? Because they cannot afford a home in Ireland. They cannot find anywhere to rent. Rents in Dublin now averaging €2,000 per month. How can a teacher, how can a nurse, how can a guard simply afford to live in Ireland? And that's why we're seeing a brain drain from Ireland. So when you talk about recruiting staff, I talk to educators at third level who are training enough childcare workers to staff all our creches and more. Why can't we keep them in Ireland? Because as one young woman working in a creche in Limerick told me recently, she's going to Melbourne because in Melbourne she'll be paid better, she'll be in better conditions, better security at work, and she'll be able to afford a house. That's why we are seeing the brain drain. That's why we're finding it hard to recruit and retain staff. And that's why a Labour manifesto, a carefully costed one, we're the only party not offering giveaway tax cuts, by the way. We're the only party offering a credible pathway
to
deliver
public services.
Well, what
you are talking about, no tax cuts and a wealth tax modelled on a Spanish
model. That's right, yes.
Now, in the Spanish model, a lot of people who have bought houses in the last whatever years, or even if they bought them years ago, their value is far more than the 300,000 threshold that they have in Spain. So what's your threshold?
Well, the key
where you wouldn't tax the primary home?
Well, what we've proposed is that we look at how we roll out the Spanish wealth tax. And the key aspect of the Spanish wealth tax that other countries are keen to emulate is the tax on assets above 3 million. And it's a 2 to 3% super levy on assets above 3 million. So that actually brings it way above the levels you're talking about. But Pat, what I find frankly incredible is to hear parties claiming to be of the left and saying they want to abolish the current local property tax. Now that to me is extraordinary. We're not proposing that sort of cut. We're proposing, as I say, credible pathways to funding the public services communities need. What use is a giveaway one-off payment or one-off tax break or indeed this crazy acorn scheme? What use is that if you can't find a creche place or a place in special education for your child with special needs?
The question of a living wage and paying people a living wage, and we're told that even a €1 extra on the minimum wage will cost jobs. So what are you going to do? You want to up?
Well, I don't know who's telling you that, Pat, because anyone I speak to, and I have a lot of friends running small businesses in the food and beverage sector, in restaurants and in cafes, what they tell me is that they have to pay well above minimum wage to their staff currently because their staff cannot afford to live anywhere near any sort of restaurant or cafe in central Dublin with the current housing crisis. So, you know, employers are ahead of us on this. Employers are already paying well above minimum. Minimum wage rises in January to $13.50 per hour. Most employers are paying well above that. And that's the reality. We want to ensure a living wage for all workers, absolutely, because we do have a crisis of low pay in this country. But the key thing, again, the key blockage in recruiting and retaining staff is the housing crisis. And that's what we have to prioritise fixing.
Okay. Finally, how many seats?
How many seats? Well, as I said, Pat, we have 32
candidates.
We have 32 seats? Candidates, and we want to see a significantly increased number of Labour TDs. Look, Pat, in the local elections, we brought back 56 councillors. We have a 57th who's now joined us, and we returned a Labour MEP with Eoin Arirdon for the first time in a decade. So there's a momentum behind our candidates. There's a momentum behind our vision for change. And what we're hearing on doorsteps is an appetite for a constructive message of change that looks at the state leading investment in housing, in childcare, in disability services and in our healthcare system. And that's what people need. That's what our communities need. Families facing eviction, children desperate to find an additional needs place. That's what we offer.
Ivana Bacik, leader of the Labour Party, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.